Father in heaven, we thank you for this book. And dear Lord, I believe there's a reason for this in our day, because we live in an unusual time. The people of everything. I've never in my life seen and hear what people believe in this particular day. And it's obvious that a lot of folks just don't know what they're talking about. It don't make us experts. Now, I know that's what Satan's slang. It's all they think. They're just a bunch of experts and know the Bible. Lord, if I found this out, the more I know about this word, the less I know. But I found also know that the Holy Spirit lives in us, who wrote this book, inspired it to be written. Dear Father, is that which in turn gives us power and understanding and wisdom to apply things correctly. And the Holy Spirit wants to teach us truth if we don't let the flesh get in the way and try to accept something that just satisfies the flesh more so than God. So please give us wisdom as we go through this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now what I'd like to do, you can turn to Romans 14, but I'm gonna go through and I want to do some research, show you how that I don't know about you, and maybe you do things like this, but I do, and that's when it takes so long for me to study, because I really approach it unusual way and have all my 54 years been saved. When I come to a subject in God's Word I'm studying, whether it be, it doesn't take as long. When God said, thou shalt not, I don't try to argue with God. I try to look at that in the age of grace and do my best to, with God's help, to apply it as near as I can in grace, because it's no use to debate what God says that you understand. Or at least on the surface, you understand when you read it. You know, if that's a cat or a dog, you know what it is. And you think about what God says. There's some things we do know what it is, but there's some people trying to change that around. But what I want to talk about is when we study the Scriptures. First of all, we know, you heard me say, stay in context. But here's the thing, approaching Scriptures. You have Scriptures about a number of things. And by the way, about anybody in denomination and otherwise, what they believe, no matter what they believe, individuals, or even if that's the way we have all our denominations come up through in our particular day, is because some people believe the Scripture in a certain way, and they formed that. They were doing the things of God, nothing maybe been wrong in what they were doing for God, or what they are doing for God. And same way with us, if we get to that place where we begin to look at Scriptures to fit where we're at, or some way that because we can't fully understand it, practice something that maybe God not be pleased with, then we want to be sure to try to conform to what God wants us by being transformed by the Scriptures. And so I think about the Scriptures. What does each verse pertain to the subject that I'm looking at? In other words, in reading a topic, what does each verse pertain to that subject? What does that verse say to me? Now, I'm not in law. I have to be respect to law, because law is just as old as ever been. I'm not in the dispensation of innocent, though I'd like to think that I've got a little innocent about me. I'm not in the dispensation of conscience, but I do know I have a conscience. I'm not in the dispensation of human government, but the human government is in my dispensation. And so I understand that when I look at Scripture, I have to look, what is it saying to me? Here, after all of these years of God, Old Testament and all the New Testament, and here we're at the end of the age, and here I'm way over here after 6,000 years, what is God saying to me? Because I got to understand how it affects me. So when I read these Scriptures, what is God trying to tell me? It doesn't matter to nobody else, because right now it's me and God together with these Scriptures. What is He trying to show me? And then when I begin to see that, what does the verse say that I need to know? Can I understand what that verse says? Then if I find verses that I don't quite understand, or maybe it doesn't seem to apply to that particular verse, then the next subject I try to do, I try to say, what does this verse, what don't it say to me? What is it saying to me? If there seemed to be a contradiction, what is it not saying to me? Because I'm the one trying to understand. It's me, God, the Holy Spirit, with God, the Holy Word, alone together. And Lord, these verses have got to speak to me first. How can I give it to anybody else if I don't understand it? That's when it takes a lot of time. And God convinces us when we go through the Scriptures, because He desires to teach us the Word of God. And we'll be wrong in some cases because we're not infinite. But I'll tell you this, we'll be more right in most cases because God desires to teach us truth. And so when I come to that, I may come to a place that where if I have more Scriptures, and that's the thing, if I want, what does this verse say? What does this verse or these verses say to me? How do I reconcile these verses? Sometimes it has a lot of verses on them, but it has in different dispensations. How do they work together? How am I to do something God said do in the under the law and compared to in the age of grace? What does it say to me? What does it not say to me? And then I talk about these verses. How many verses agree on the subject now? Lord, I see that there's a subject here. How many verses have I got that agree with on that subject? Because God wants to teach us something. He's not writing a bunch of words at lip and just saying words. He's zeroing on something for us to understand. And what is it then I learn about that subject? But what about those verses that seem to counteract those verses on that subject? How am I going to deal with that? So somehow or another, I've got to start reconciling verses together. Because I know this, God does not tell a lie. God does not teach untruth. And when there's something there that seems like to contradict what God says in one place, in another place, then there's certainly a problem there. Because it's very easy. I've said this in the title. It's very easy for me in the flesh. I've got to stay around this thing, don't you hear me? It's very easy in the flesh for me to want something if I can get the Bible to line up with that than to believe something that goes against the flesh. I have a lot less problems with the flesh, at least at that moment, if I can find something the Bible says that the flesh would agree on. And by the way, we all do that because that's the reason the flesh dominates us so much in this life. And so now, how many verses agree on that subject? How many verses disagree on that particular subject? What does the disagree verses agree on? I mean, if verses disagree on the subject I'm studying, and it seems like they line up because there's verses that agree, then what does those verses disagree on in agreement? You understand what I'm saying? If I've said something, why do the verses disagree? I'm going to get you confused. What does disagree verses agree on? That's what I'm trying to say. Because they got to be agreeing on something. God's word is not written in systematic order. And that's the reason the world will never understand it. He saw to the ends of ages that when it come time to get his message, and we go back and look at God in a few minutes and show it the image of God and why we work like we do, because if I get a concept about what God has done in making me in his image, then I can understand a little bit more about how God deals with me. And it has to be me first. If not, there's no way I can help anybody else. And I'm going to tell you what, this book says a lot about me. Said, well, what I'll be doing, should be doing. I have many things in this life. As a matter of fact, it says more about me than anyone else I see. And that's the reason I find myself many times in this book being very burdened. Because I realize that I'm living in an age today that seems like anything goes. Where there was a time years ago people did at least discipline themselves to some degree. So which way are the more agreement? Now, here I've come to close enough studying something that I've got a lot of verses that agree on this. I can really preach. If I stick to those verses, I can convince you in anything. But if someone finds a verse over here that's about the same subject, or maybe at a different age, or sounds like the same subject, then suddenly if it disagrees, more than likely, if they are not in line with what all these verses agree on, then a verse that is disagree, you end up having a problem going towards that particular verse. I learned this out. There are some verses in the scripture I don't fully understand. So I'm going to agree with God with the verses that have more verses. The more verses God has something on something that I can understand, I'm going to accept that a lot quicker than I would 2 of E verses I can't understand and denies it. Because then I'll know for sure if God said something one, twice, two or three times, he must have meant it. And if he said it more than that, he must have meant it. So I must have trouble somewhere else finding what that verse means. And it amazes me how God has blessed our heart through the years, because you look at people through tender eyes and pray that God will help. Because Paul says every one of us is going to give account of God. And what he says to us, if you look down with me chapter 14, he said this in verse 5. And I'm going to read this and come back later. He said, one man esteemed one day above another. Another esteems another day alike. Now, he's talking about days here, probably Sabbath, the Lord's day. We know why we keep the Lord's day. Nowhere can you find. God said, keep the Lord's day. But you see the practice of it. And therefore, I understand why I should keep the Lord's day. In other words, if I had a choice to keep the Sabbath on Saturday or the Lord's day, I'd keep the Lord's day. Why? Because I'm in grace. I'm in the age of grace. And that's the day of the resurrection. That's setting forth that God has something better than the old system, the old covenant. But I'm not going to, you know, if a person can't get that, then that's between them and God. And that's what Paul is saying here. I mean, a person worship on Thursday if they want to. But you know something? God teaches us in grace we to worship every day. But we need this assembling together. And when you get said those things, there's scattering. You don't know where it's going to go at. And sometimes if a person believes a certain way, they close up and will not listen and be honest with what the scriptures have to say at the time. So he said verses that belong, when I look at verses that belong to certain things, if they disagree, I have to study the detail in the Word of God, word for word, line for line, precept for precept, and come with a conclusion. And if I come to a conclusion that whereas I can't get it completely because one or two verses, then I must have those verses out of context. Because God's not going to take one verse and destroy his whole Bible. I'm convinced of that, folks. Now, when I see this, then what about questionable things? I'm asking about questionable things. A lot of things will be questionable about what Christians do and don't do. And I'm going to try to explain that to a rule of kind of going through that. We must never try to include what God excludes. We must never try to bend God's revelation to support what God disallows somewhere else in the scriptures. I can never find myself, you know, bending God's revelation on truth because somewhere else I miss it. It don't sound like what I thought was truth was. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to tell you something. Nobody can come to God except by him. That's true. I don't have to worry about that. But I don't have, by the way, I don't have to have any other scripture to make me believe that, but I'm glad I got more. You see? So I'm not spending a lot of time in arguing with someone about if Jesus Christ is not the only way or not, because I know he is. You say, you're bragging. No, it's scripture that taught me that. But then we get some other places and find sometimes things really happen. Now, what I'd like to do is go back. Let's read 14 just a minute and go through it. And then I want to give an idea. I want to talk a little about the idea God has. And this will be related back some years ago, some things I've said, which I think need to be said now, simply because to understand God in myself and then understand what God's trying to get across to me in this life. And I'm in grace. I live in the age of grace. My part in time started in the age of grace. And there's some tremendous thing. See, let's read verse 1, first of all. Here, Paul in chapter 14 is trying to help them understand doubtful things. And once he said, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. What he's setting forth here, that there are some things that God gives religious liberty in the scriptures. And people use them. But he proved with just a few cases of just talking about meat and a few other things that if you have a liberty and God has given you a liberty, you're not to use that liberty when a person is weak in the faith and may stumble at it. Because if you do, that which is your liberty becomes a sin. And God teaches us all through the scripture, like, watch, he said this. In other words, don't condemn someone because beliefs are different when it comes to things that you can't pinpoint. I have no trouble. I have no trouble going to the scripture and showing someone who Jesus Christ is. And I'm not going to argue with a person that don't believe that. I'm just going to say, my friend, hey, you have a right to do that. And thank God Almighty. We're all going to stand before God, aren't we? Yes, we are. Okay, then we'll find out who's right then. But I want to know right before I get there. And that's the reason I say, when God said something that forcefully, we know it's right because he does not lie. And then he says like this, he's for one believer that he may eat all things. That's probably the Gentiles who were in that church. And then he said, another who is weak, eating herbs. That's the Jews, no doubt. He said, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Now, one man esteems one day above another. Another esteems another day, every day alike. let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, there's a case where you find what people say, well, I'm persuaded in my mind. But what's the persuasion brought to you? See, if I'm going to be persuaded, it's not going to be just because I wanted it that way. I mean, my conscience could persuade me to some things. It's going to be because I'm really honest before God, study the book, and ask God to help me understand that persuasion comes from the Holy Spirit in our heart. And I believe anyone else can do that if they'll be honest with God. I have stripped myself a lot of times of that baggage and stuff I had years ago that I might understand. It doesn't mean that I can get it all perfect. No, but I'll get enough that God will give me that my life will be what it ought to be in this life. And I'll find sometimes that with the problems I have and so forth, and even sometimes not knowing everything, no doubt don't do all that God wants me to do. And yet, when I get to 1 John and see the word practice and commit, it helps me understand something because that's a way of life. And I know this, and I see you. Your practice in life as a Christian is not one sin all the time. It's not. Because you can't do that according to what he said. And we're going to get into that and show it a little bit. Because you find Jesus, there's so much that Jesus said would counteract a person who thinks that they can sin and still get by with it. And then on the other hand, all of us sin and thank God for the blood of Christ that cleanses us. You say, preach, that's double talk. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's really understanding what God says about sin, how much he loves us. I'm going to tell you what, ladies and gentlemen. I'll wait till I get there. I want you, let's read a little further. He said, he that regardeth the day, regardeth the Jesus, it unto the Lord. And notice he said that, he's talking about those who actually condemn or give a, condemn someone who don't have the liberty, and the person who has the liberty condemns someone who don't have the liberty. I've had people say, well, bless God, don't matter to me if you can't understand it. I feel at peace with this. It don't matter. You do what you want to do. I'm going to do what I want to. That's the wrong thing for a child of God to say who is a strong Christian. It should be, my brother, listen, if you don't have any trouble, don't you worry about me. You will never see me involved with that until you come to the strength that's need to you that doesn't bother you. And most times it'd be a simple thing. Just a simple thing. He goes on and he says, and he regardeth the day to the Lord and doth not regard it, he that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks, for none of us liveth to himself. Boy, that's interesting, isn't it? And no man dieth to himself, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord, and whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. That sentence says we're all on the same level there. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you read that through what I'm saying, it sounds like, hey, I can't never reprove anybody. I can't never stand for it. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. There are some things you and I have to stand on. I stand on this book. I'll never change that. You know, I'll never change that. I stand upon the Lord Jesus. I'll never change that unless I'm out of my mind. They'll put me in the crazy house. There are some things that's conviction in me that it will be just as real. They'll never change because they're not preferences, they're convictions. Well, when we read here, it looks like he's saying, well, just don't claim anything. You and I've got to claim some things. If I don't have the person who can save my soul, I need to be looking for him. I say that a lot, but I need to be looking for him. If I have, then I ought to be convinced of that. And if I have been convinced about it, God will use me to try to convince others, but it won't be antagonistic and arrogantly. It'll show a loving way if I can and walk away and let God do what he can do at that time. Now, if he cusses me, or like I have been cussed out, I've been cussed out and asked to leave. And I stand in the yard. And, that don't feel good. I'm glad I was saved. There ain't no one in here can cuss as good as anybody else wants to. And Satan knows that, and Satan used that against us because we hold our tongue to the place that we try to at least to show Christian and walk away from something like that, and God proves it's right. But I'll tell you, it don't take much to get us all, anyone riled up in this life. And so he goes on. He said, let us therefore not judge one another. Then notice verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean in itself. Isn't that amazing? But to him that it seems anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. Somebody see that? See that, preacher? There's nothing unclean. I do anything I want to. Did you read it? Read it, Brother Keith. Read it again. Read that verse again. They said, let a man persuade his own mind. God said anything. Everything is clean. If I want it to be clean, because to me, if it's not, if it, it's, let me read it again. I mean, I am persuaded that the Lord Jesus, he said, I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. Now, if he's persuaded, he must also understand that he has been persuaded, like he said in verse 5. You see how it can be confusing? Someone said, well, you shouldn't ever preach against sin, if that be the case. God's just practicing. But man's just practicing what he's practicing. It's not unclean. God said it's not unclean. I'm proved to you. No, you can't prove that if you use other verses. What God is showing us, that he wants us to understand, we have a way to deal with things in this life. Sometimes we blow it, but most of the time we should not. He said, again, I'm persuaded that, Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean. Nothing in itself is unclean. Then he goes on, but to him that esteem it. And by the way, go look your commentaries up on this if you want to, and you'll find they'll explode that in a lot of different ways. He says, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So that says to you and I, what is he saying? Be swayed in your mind. I'm swayed about this, but first I can't do that. I tell you, that's against what I should do. That person ought to be right then and say, all right, that's a problem with you. If that's a problem with you, he said, but to him that esteemeth anything to him it's unclean. If that's unclean to you, I'll guarantee you I will not be unclean around you with that. I love you that much. If eating meat, you know, I may have a hard time not eating meat. But I understand. Some people understand what they're talking about, the occasion then why he said eating meat, because some of those meat in Jerusalem were given to idols. And there's a reason behind that. I mean, the Jews wouldn't eat anything given to idols. And a Gentile come along, that's all they ever done. Meat was just meat. It had no spirituality about it at all. But when it in those two places, hello. I'm amazed. I could be more. I need to move on. He says, but notice, he says, I'm known and persuaded by the Lord that there's nothing clean. Now watch, verse 15, he said, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitable. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. And it's a simple thing. He used the simple things he could find as a piece of meat, and that could be anything else that God has not cried out against. But he said, in the main, he said, I'm persuaded of the Lord that there is nothing unclean. Then he said, if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, then if you use that and he stumbles, you've caused a child that's weak to do something he should not do. And God said, that makes you less of a Christian when that happens like that. Verse 15, no, he said again, but to him that seemed clean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, that now walkest thou not charitable, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not, I want to get somewhere else tonight, but I want to read the rest of this and we'll go next week and we'll have to read no more. He said, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness. Here's the key. The kingdom of God is not these things physical that you see that you're involved in. The kingdom of God is about righteousness. That's what he's talking about here. Go back and find righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is accepted to God and approved to men. In amazing, God said, if you walk like this, you'll be finally accepted of God and men approve of you also. Then he goes on. And he says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things. And he goes on in verse 20, but for meat For meat destroys not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Then watch this. How do you sum it up, Paul? Watch this. It is neither good to eat flesh nor to drink wine. Doesn't he hit that again? He said, whatever you think, it's good not to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything. Why, Paul? Whereby thy brother summeth, or is offended, or is made weak. It's not that I have the liberty. I can have the liberty all. But he says, if it makes thy brother, notice again, if it makes thy brother stumble, or if thy brother's offended, or if he's made weaker, then you haven't been who you ought to be as far as a child of God is concerned. Now, when I think about that, watch, I want you to turn with me, if you will, over in Romans chapter 6. Now, when I read what Paul said here about this, then I get to Romans 6 and it looks like he contradicts himself. But he don't. There's a reconciliation here. He said us what we should not, we should be looking at things and we should show our liberty and then not use that liberty if the brother is weaker than we are. But then all of a sudden he's not telling that person, say, well, you know, boy, I'll tell you, I love God and use God's name. Whatever word, man, you can't lay off of that. You're going to say, hey, you say you love God, but wait, don't you know you ought not use God's name? God says thou shalt not use thy God's name in vain. But you do it in a number of ways. If you look in Romans chapter 6 and go back, and you see Paul starts down about verse 14 through 18. He says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now, if I'm under grace and sin won't have dominion over me, and it looks like I can just do anything I want to do because of those verses. No, he's showing us that in Jesus Christ, the safety, if you're truly born again. But there's a lifestyle. Did you know when you were born physically, you had everything you needed physically, but you had to start growing before you could do anything much. And life came a series of growth. When you and I are born spiritually, if we are truly born spiritually, we have everything we need. That's Jesus Christ. And then, but being born spiritually does not make people look at us being Christian because they don't see the spiritual birth. They hear the words. Why do you think the Lord talked about deeds? Why do you think about that due to seed and stuff, like grow in grace and like Peter, grow in grace and not the Lord? Because they need to see the substance as much so as hear the words. And so when there's spiritual life, there ought to be a growth. And over a period of time, you see that growth more and more, maturing towards the Lord until we get home. If it's not there, now I'm going to go to 1 John, because 1 John chapter 5 teaches if it's not there and it's practiced something else, it's a sign that person. The word practice and one sin is not the same. It's not the same. I think about, let me ask you a question, and then we'll close and we'll pick it up next week. Folks, this will be a blessed study if you stick with us. I want you to look with me I was studying another message the other day, and where was it at? I want to say one thing to you. If you understand what it means to be birth physically when it comes, growth starts. And because we can see physically that individual, we know they've been birthed physically. But God said the spiritual world is not like that. One person said not too long ago, why don't God just prove himself? That settled the whole thing. Why don't God, preacher, just prove himself? Can he not prove himself? Yes, sir, he will one of these days. By the way, he's doing it now. But there's a wall between the flesh and the spirit. Now, what's happening is there, he's revealing himself through a spiritual aspect of man that he's given us to see him. So when we see him physically, we already know him in the end. Why don't he? They say, well, we say, well, the heavens declare his handiwork. Yes, but that don't tell us who he is. Could not God just come right now and say, in the sky somewhere or another, so the whole earth could see him, and then settle down in Jerusalem and let everybody see him? Would that not be convincing, the fact that if he did the things that God did, and you can see it with your physical eye, that would make everybody believe? No, it won't. Well, I hope I get that. Get to that later. I have time to do it, because that's a wonderful thing to see why God will not manifest himself like they want him to now. Because he has a plan and purpose. It started back in the garden. It started when the angels fell, and now he comes to the earth to make man. And his program from then till he gets his home on the other side, and how the angels fit in and so forth. That's another thing. So he goes on, and watch what I was going to say this, though. He said in chapter 7, verse, and this is what got me one time years ago. Jesus said this in chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23. Read it. Why don't you turn and read it with me now? You've read this before. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now let me ask you a question. When I read that, what's it saying to me? He's saying, Charles, there's a lot of people on this earth who say, Lord, 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 Lord. That gives me a name. They're not entering into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Only he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Now, find the clock. What is the will of the Father? Tell me. For every human being. That's right. He's not willing any should be lost. He's willed that all to be saved. And yet his will of all be saved. He can make them all get saved, but he won't. His will is that they would do and accept the method he has, that they could be born again. So I get that. He says, but he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Watch, in verse 22 says, but many will say to me in that day. And by the way, he knew this. They had Satan give power like this. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. Notice, we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. What's that saying to me? They must have some kind of power that make me, if I'm not careful, believe that they belong to God. But the Savior said they don't belong to me. Only those who come to me by faith, and we know that, but otherwise, looking at Hebrews, in essence for us in that time, he hadn't died, but now by faith. What I'm leaning to is this last verse. This is what gets me. He said, and when these people come, and they do all of this and say all of this, then I will profess unto them. Notice what Jesus said, folks. I will confess unto them. What does he picture say? Well, what does he say? Read it out loud together. I never knew you. What? Now he knows them physically. He's talking about that relationship. You never had that relationship with me. You know why? Look in John 10. Oh, Lord, please. Oh, my. I'll give you this. This is it. I'll quit. Look in John 10. What did Jesus say about those that knew him? In John chapter 10, look down in verse 27. What did Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice. And I what? Know them. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. I'm talking about the Bible that speaks to our heart. I know them. And what? They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now let me ask you a question. I'll leave this with you and you think about it. Did Jesus mean John 10? Or did Jesus mean Matthew 7? He did. What I'm saying to you, though, ladies and gentlemen, listen. When he said in Matthew 7, I never knew you, that means they never were saved. I know those are mine. If you're his, he knows you. You can't fool him. We can fool everybody else, can't we? I like that. That gives me assurance. He's either mine, and I'm his, or he's not. God, sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I, so much pressure on me. Sometimes, dear God, this world seems to be going such a fashion. I'm trying to climb out of a hole. But you said, your sheep heard your voice. How can I become your sheep? There, see, I got to answer that question. I can go to Romans 10. You know that. And once I become that, he said, I know them, and they hear my voice. If a person, let me ask you, I'm going to leave this thought here, and I'm putting if here now, I can't go any further, and some people get confused. But if a person could trust Christ and be lost, would not Jesus have known? I'm telling you where I come from. Would not Jesus have known him? That's a question I ask God. If this time you said you never knew them. But were they saved or not? If they were, you must have knew them and they lost. But he said, I never knew them. That means that some of them won't say. In fact, all of them won't say who didn't have him. See, the birth is different than just having religion. And that's just one place. That's where Scripture, compared with Scripture, gives me insight of, see, God, I worship you, praise your holy name. I'll not condemn anyone else if they can't see it, bless their heart. I pray with it, but I'm going to tell you this. I know this. My life for the Lord will be much better, if it can be any better at all, and all of us can be better, if I know these truths than it is if I don't know these truths. Because when I go in that world, I'm going to face everything in the world that Satan has to twist my mind not to believe truth. And if he can get me somewhere when I'm talking to someone and someone talks about something they did and man alive, they esteemed it to be wrong, but I felt like I had a little liberty in that, and suddenly I began to feel like, if I had this liberty, why am I so condemned? Because I'll tell you this, if someone pushes something good enough against you that you're doing something and they say they feel it's wrong, even if you don't feel guilty about it, you'll begin to think about it and feel guilty later. That's the way the flesh is. So what God is saying, he's saying to us in this life, listen, when you come, my child, I know you and you know me. Now, Romans gives us instruction of what he does. And this is how we study Scripture with Scripture. Now, next week, I want to go back and start with God. And when I do, I want to show you how God presents himself to us. And then he makes us in his image. And how we can have what he talks about us being in his image. What an amazing thing. It's not just that we look like him. We look no ways like him in the sense of flesh, other than he made a body of flesh so Christ could be born. This is tremendous study. I hope you'll stick with me, Father. Lord, I praise your holy name for this book. Dear Father, every verse is important. So every verse that I go to that tries to deny something I believe, dear Father, then let me see how many verses. If I have more verses deny something I believe, then I've got to change. If I have verses that support that, then I want to go in that direction because I believe Scripture with Scripture, compared with Scripture, can give us understanding. Heavenly Father, we're weak. Our minds cannot comprehend all that you have to tell us. But help us understand what you tell us that's right. Dear Father, so we can show others there's more to this than just making a profession of faith. There's more than just coming to church and saying, I was saved back 45 years ago and I hadn't lived for the Lord for the first couple of years. Lord, there's just more to it than that. And Satan has so blinded us. Please help us. God, thank you for these people tonight who wait and listen. There's so much on the heart to say and so little time to say it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.